Radhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridhara Dhari. Hey, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giridhara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Varachari. Jamuna Tira Varachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Jaya Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Radha Madhava, Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada. Sri Vrindavan Sri Mathura Dham ki jay, Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki jay, Sri Jagannath Puri Dham ki jay, Kamanahi Jamunamayi ki jay, Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi ki jay, Sangha Veda Bhakta Vrinda ki jay, Harinam Sankirtan, Yugadama Nam Sankirtan ki jay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Holy Name Week ki jay, Jayanitaya Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. This morning I'm reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates. Text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mukthasya Balaye Keshur. Mukdhasya Balihe Kaishur Kridato Yati Vinshati Kridato yati vinshati Jaraya grashta dehasya Jaraya grashta dehasya Yatya kalpasya vinshati Yatya kalpasya vinshati Muktasya balaye keshur Kirato yati vinshati Yaraya grashta dehasya Yatya kalpasya vinshati Muktasya balaye keshur Kirato yati vinshati Yaraya grashta dehasya Yatya kalpasya vinshati Yatya bhali kaisho Yatayo yati vinshati Yatya kalpasya vinshati
Mugasya. Of a person bewildered or not in perfect knowledge, Malie, in childhood, Keshari, in boyhood, Kritadaha, playing, Yati, passes, Vingshati, 20 years, Jaraya, by invalidity, grasta dehasya, of a person overcome, yati, passes, akalpasya, without determination, being unable to execute even material activities. Vingshatihi, another 20 years. Translation. In the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, one passes 10 years. Similarly, in boyhood, engaged in sporting and playing, one passes another 10 years. In this way, 20 years are wasted. Similarly, in old age, when one is an invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 20 years wastefully. Please repeat. In the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, one passes 10 years. Similarly, in boyhood, engaged in sporting and playing, one passes another 10 years. In this way, 20 years are wasted. Similarly, in old age, when one is an invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 20 years wastefully. Without Krishna consciousness, one wastes 20 years in childhood and boyhood, and another 20 years in old age. When one cannot perform any material activities and is full of anxiety about what is to be done by his sons and grandsons and how one's estate should be protected, half these years are spent in sleep. Furthermore, one wastes another 30 years sleeping at night during the rest of his life. Thus, 70 out of 100 years are wasted by a person who does not know the aim of life and how to utilize this human form. End of quote. Gauravani Vishaline Nirvishesha Shunnavari Pascha Chakasadhani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Translation again. In the tender age of childhood, when everyone is bewildered, one passes 10 years. Similarly, in boyhood, engaged in sporting and playing, one passes another 10 years. In this way, 20 years are wasted. Similarly, in old age, when one is invalid, unable to perform even material activities, one passes another 20 years wastefully. Here, Prahlad Mahajan is given instructions to his school friends. He is stressing out human form of life is very important, very rare. Human beings are very less of all the species. Not many living entities have a human form. Most of them are trees, plants, etc., aquatics, insects, birds, animals. Because in this human form, we can actually understand the meaning of life. We can actually understand what this world is, what life is. Others cannot. Higher regions, devatas, etc. they come under the human species, I guess. So he's saying how rare it, and he's given very graphic explanations about the material world. Prahlad is showing the bare face of Maya, of the material world, and cutting our illusions to shreds. The illusion is that we think the world is meant for enjoyment, right? Life is meant for enjoyment. Everyone is very concerned about securing the future, that the future will be bright. This is everyone's dream. Unfortunately, it is not to be so, because Krishna has made it like that, so that we don't get comfortable. The living entity, the spirit soul, he cannot take pleasure in matter. This is the mistake in the entry. So no matter how sophisticated your calculation, your answer will be wrong. But the whole world is running under this illusion that life is meant for enjoyment. So Prahlad is dissecting this conditioning that we've had. He's taking the material world apart, piece by piece, showing us what's actually happening here. And in this section, he's telling how a lot of the life is wasted. A lot of time is wasted sleeping. He says half a life. He's talking about those really in the mode of ignorance, because generally people don't sleep for 12 hours, about 8 hours. That's one third of your life, right? One third of the day, 8 hours, see. Is gone in sleep. And he's saying how the first 10 years you're just playing, right? You just want to play. And the kids are quite happy playing, children are quite happy playing in any circumstance. They're all living in the present moment, just doing anything, nonsense, right? That has no real meaning, but they're happy, absorbed in doing something, then something else, then something else, then something else. And then the parents, because they're more intelligent, then after 10 years or 5 years, oh, sorry, he says, ten years, then they start to educate the children. You can't always be irresponsible like this. You have to be responsible in life. Life is, they're happy, enjoying, but they have no responsibility, right? They don't worry about eating. When they're hungry, they cry, and that's it. And the food comes. But for the adults, it's not exactly like that. You have to work for it, and you're... When they're tired, they go to sleep, and when they don't have anything to do. They don't have to defend. When there's any trouble, they cry. Not so much trouble. And so they spend their life like that in ignorance. So the parents have to train them so they become responsible human beings, so-called. So they send you to go to school. It's 10 years, 20 years. Here's another 10. Another 20 years, get a good education. Education is what? How to eat nicely, how to sleep nicely, how to defend nicely, and how to enjoy nicely. This is your material education. Nothing else. That's what education is for, right? How to improve the standard of living so you can live happier than what you're living now. Who doesn't want to improve their material condition? Nobody, right? Even the people on top, they're always striving to improve their material condition. Because nobody's satisfied materially. The spirit soul cannot be satisfied materially. Right? Different energy. We don't belong in the material world. You can't be satisfied in the material world, the spirit soul. This is the first principle that we learn, right, in the Bhagavad Gita. You're not the body. That's the first principle you have to learn. It was all based on that. Until that illusion is cleared up, then everything else is wrong. It's based on the wrong principle. If you're the body, then that's the senses, and you want happiness, so the purpose of life is sense gratification. It makes sense. Right? So everyone is trying for that happiness, which means sense gratification. removing the obstacles so that we can live a better life than we're living now. This is the whole of society, material world is doing that. That's all they're doing, right? Practically speaking, trying to remove the obstacles. The government's job is to remove the kleshas, the obstacles in life, so that the citizens will be happy, prosperous, literate, and happy. That's their goal. Dream, another dream, a dream on a dream. It's already a dream. Maya has already entrapped us in her dream. And then the so-called leaders of society, they're expanding this dream, perpetuating the dream. You can do it. Don't worry. We can do it. In the future, we'll do it. Don't worry. Have faith. Have faith in us. We will do. We will make everything nice. Right? It's a promise. That's her idea. But not working. As we see, you read the newspaper. Today you read the newspaper, you see it's not working. 100 years ago you read the newspaper, it's not working. 1,000 years from now you'll read the newspaper, you see it's not working. But still they go on trying and promising. What is the alternative? I'm not going to chant Hare Krishna, right? So Prahlad is pointing out these things. Then in so after your... After your 20 years of schooling, 10 years of schooling, 10 years of playing, that's 20 years is gone. Then he says, another an old age, what are you going to do when you're 80 years old? Is it worry about how your estate is going to be managed, and how will everyone survive without me? How will the family live without me? I've been there, maintain a supporter. How will they live without me? When you get really close and you're just worried about yourself, how many, I'm in the trouble here. No one can help me. Help. I'm suffering. Dying. No one can help me. So that's 40 years, and he says 70 years and half of that. So you got 30 years. Then he'll go on to say in the next verses, even in that 30, even the 30 years of prime time you have, waking state, prime time, it's all a waste of time anyway, because you're just engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, trying to perfect those things. So it must be. So Prahlad is given this knowledge of the soul. He's also given knowledge of the material situation, because without this knowledge, how are we going to give it up? We don't understand what it is. We don't understand we're in prison. Why should we want to get out? If you don't know you're sick, why will you take medicine? So he's diagnosing now our problem. We're in trouble here. But we don't think it's trouble. We don't think life, material life, is so bad. Right? Who thinks life is really bad? Not many. Not so bad. Because you're born in a bad situation. You're born in a suffering situation. So then bad is normal. Bad is a standard. Suffering is a standard. Growing old, getting sick, dying, that's normal. Right? If you don't eat for 6 hours, you suffer. That's normal. Right? If you don't sleep enough, you suffer. It's normal. Right? If you don't take bath, you suffer. It's normal. Right? So the normal situation is suffering. So before the suffering comes, you eat. Before the suffering comes, you sleep. Before the suffering comes, you do something else. So you act in such a way, you're one step ahead of the suffering. Right? You're eating, then you feel satisfaction. The pain goes away, and you feel nourishment, and you feel strength. You can do something. Then you feel, there's your happiness. But it's not actually happiness. It's relief from distress. Is it suffering? You're in a suffering condition in the material world. Modes of nature, you're thrown in these modes of nature, which are struggling for supremacy, Raja, Tamas, and Sattva. So it's a whole kijri, a whole kaleidoscope that you're trying to figure out, you know, trying to make ends meet in this whirlpool of modes of nature. going up and down, 14 planetary systems, whizzing around, birth, death, birth, old age, disease, death, birth, old age, disease, death. So Prahlad's pointing all these things out. But they have to be known, they have to be pointed out. Otherwise, how are we going to come detached from it? We don't think it's bad. We don't think life's so bad. Enjoyment. Some enjoyment is there. We realize that. We have realization. There's enjoyment. Sense gratification is there, no doubt. Not much, but still, it's the best. And no one's getting a lot more than us. Right? Pretty much. According to your sphere of society that you live in, you feel pretty much the same. So you don't feel so bad. There's not too many people enjoying a lot more than us. And there's a lot of people who are not enjoying as much as us. So we have that's our standard of happiness. Who's enjoying more? How many people enjoy more than me? And how many people are suffering more than me? This is our standard of happiness and distress. That's the actual measure. But actually it's all suffering. Old age, disease, death, fighting to overcome the whips of nature, being whipped by the lashes. But we're intelligent and we move one step ahead of the whip. Right? We eat before we get hungry, we sleep before we get tired, we're one step ahead of the whip. It can't get us, we're feeling good. Right? We're not getting the lashed. But we don't realize where we're going. The edge of the end of the road, then you fall off the cliff. That's all. That's human life. What's at the end of the road is death. So you're just being whipped towards death. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the material world. But that's what it actually is. If you don't understand it like that, then why you want to become renounced? Why you want to give? How will you give it up? How will you give your happiness up, your material happiness up? Purpose of life is happiness, right? Right? So, then it's happiness and you're saying renounce? If it's not favorable for Krishna consciousness, we have to say no? Doesn't sound like fun to me. Why should you do it? So unless you have knowledge of the why you should give it up, licit or illicit, why you should give it up, what is the problem with it, then you won't give it up. So Prahlad is diagnosing the symptoms, is explaining what the problems are. If it material sense gratification, that means for myself, then the problems are two, basically, there are two. Many implications. The first is when one experiences sense gratification, it feels some pleasure or some relief, then, that's good. So it becomes attached. Right? It's a good feeling, that's nice. That would be one of your shelters in life. There's security there, there's pleasure there, sanctuary there, I can go there. I can go, I know it works, I've experienced it. So that's the first problem, become attached. If it's to pleasure, sense pleasure. And the second problem is because you've interfaced with the material nature, then there's going to be a reaction for it. So then you have to come back again to experience that reaction. So it's a problem. If you don't want to come back to the material world, then you have to say no to bad and no to good also. For your self-interest. What is the alternative? Say yes to Krishna. That's it. That's the proposition. So unless we actually hear this, about this material energy, what it's actually like, then you'll never give it up. You won't be able to give it up. Why should you give it up? So unless you know why you should give it up, what is the problem with it, then you can give it up. Intelligence. And that's difficult also, because you're only going on intelligence. So Krishna says, unless you can give up the lower taste by experiencing the higher taste. But you don't get the higher taste unless you give up the lower taste. So what comes first? How do you do it? This is a question. This is a mysterious question. How do you give up the... If you can't give up the lower taste without getting the higher taste, and you don't get the higher taste until you give up the lower taste, how do you go? So that's what life consists of, those two things, how to secure the future. That's the main thing. Defense is the main thing. How to secure the future. So if we accept these principles which Prahlad is giving us, the Mahajan, we should do is follow in his footsteps. Because he says earlier on that endeavor for security is illusion. And that endeavor for happiness is illusion. The material world. Because your happiness and distress is already fixed by your karma. You'll not experience more, you'll not experience less. So if you actually accept that, then why are we still endeavoring to achieve happiness? Why are we still endeavoring to overcome the problems, working hard to offset the problems? Why are you going to university for 15 years, 10 years? To offset the problems, right? So that then you have to depend on the Lord. That's faith. You have faith because there's no actual tangible experience. There's no real taste, right, for Krishna. But that's what it means. It means to surrender means to become dependent on Krishna, and Krishna is leaving it up to us to make that first step. That's his proposition. So we've got to make the first step. We don't have faith to do that. We don't have faith to surrender. We're frightened to surrender that endeavor for our safety and our happiness. We don't want to give up that endeavor, that idea. Because that's all we know. That's all we've been trained in. If I give up that, then what about my security? What about my happiness? Arjuna asked the same question. What about the person who's not successful in the spiritual path? He gives up his material life and he doesn't make it spiritually. It's a lose-lose. Krishna says, no, there's never any loss in this path. Transcendental path, there's never any loss. In his next birth, he'll get it all in the next birth, right? Better birth, better situation than what he has now, spiritually or materially, both. So there's no loss. You can't stop that. You can't stop the amount of happiness and distress. Krishna does. Krishna can stop it. He can change it. We can't actually stop it. We can modify it. Different things, but you can't actually stop it. So there's no loss, huh? But do you have faith in that? That your endeavor is not going to make your life easier, or it's not going to ensure that you won't suffer as much as you're supposed to, and that your happiness, personal sense gratification. You're getting that was due to your activity that you've caused this happiness to come, and you're enjoying it by your own endeavor. No, we're experiencing results of our previous endeavors generally. So one has to be have great faith. So that faith is difficult to. It's difficult to have that degree of faith where you can actually give up your self-interest. Very difficult. It's the last thing, the false ego, it's the last thing that goes. When Mahaprabhu was going to Puri or leaving Puri to somewhere else, then all the devotees were going with him, and Mahaprabhu said, have you brought anything with you? They said, no, you left in such a, without any real notice, we didn't have time, we didn't bring anything. Mahaprabhu said, very good, very good. We depended on Krishna. It's illusion. Krishna, he said he's feeding the ant. The ant is getting his gram of food, and the elephant is getting his 200 kilos. Who's supplying that? They're not making any arrangements. It's coming. So in the same way, our necessities of life will come. You don't have to make it. So he's very pleased with them. They didn't bring anything. So this is proper consciousness. We want to depend on Krishna. So even if you have facilities, even the prince, he may have a very nice, you know, the first class food, he's a prince, but he has a row, he has an argument with someone, and he gets moody and he's sulking and he doesn't want to eat. Or he gets indigestion. He has a fabulous meal there, Rajbhog, but he can't eat it because he has indigestion. So even the facilities there, if it's not your destiny to enjoy it, you won't enjoy it. And if you have no facility and it's your destiny to enjoy, it'll come. Mahaprabhu says, you don't have to worry about these things. They're going to come anyway. So that is one has to be fixed up in that consciousness. That it's your first of all, the material world is not meant for enjoyment. That's the first thing we got to try and agree to, try and accept it. It's not meant for enjoyment. That has to. We have to give that up somehow or other. It's meant. I mean, the purpose of creation is enjoyment. In the spiritual world, everyone's enjoying all the time. There's no misery there. There's no anxiety there. But the material world is not like that. So, it's meant. The material world is meant for those people who have that separatist mentality, who think that they can enjoy without Krishna, think they can move without Krishna, or independently of Krishna. So he'll go here, I take away remembrance of me, you go there, here's all the earth, water, fire and air, and I've already arranged how it works, and you go there and you try to manipulate and enjoy it. See what happens. So this is what we're trying. We have his mentality of being the controller of our destiny or controller of our life and enjoying the result of our life. That's what we're trying to do here. Isn't Maya? Krishna says it's a place of suffering. Krishna doesn't cut any ice. He's very straightforward. He's not sentimental. Like modern is, this is very radical. A very radical movement in the modern society. we have a very radical philosophy, relatively speaking. Right? Everyone thinks the world is meant for improving and enjoying. Krishna says it's a place of dukkha laya. It's meant for suffering. Radical. If you tell someone the world is not meant for enjoyment, hey, what's going on? You can't believe it. I don't want to believe it. So there, because it's not for enjoyment. If it's not for enjoyment, then why is everyone endeavoring so much? In the old age, Prahlad says at the end of life, you lose all the enthusiasm of defending in the future. There's fear if you're not a devotee. There's a fear there of leaving your body. But there's no desire to, there's no enthusiasm to do anything anymore. You know, you're not going to get enthusiastic about planting trees or building a new house or something, because you know you're not going to be here in a little while. So you lose all that enthusiasm for life, you know, to do things, to create things at that stage of life. But that stage is any time, right? Your notice is given when you're, you know, 18, 19 years old. But now our notice is not given, but who knows we're going to be alive tomorrow? Who knows, we're going to be 8 years old. We may be, you know, so we can be old. If we die tomorrow, we're old men. We're all very old people. Right? So if it's our last day today, then we're old people. So who can say when that will be? But when it actually hits you, when Krishna actually withdraws the ability, I am the ability in man, when he withdraws his ability, right? He withdraws the color from your hair and your teeth, withdraws your teeth, withdraws your digestion, withdraws your strong organs, withdraws your tight skin, right? Withdraws your all those things, and then Krishna's withdrawing all those things. It's his energy. And then you don't have the ability to do anything. Krishna's, then you, at that time you understand, I'm dependent on Krishna. That's Krishna's program. It's Krishna's program. Right? In modern they say, how can God be so cruel? This person was lived a good life, whole life, and now look at the suffering he's in. Oh, why this child suffers? She's innocent. She hasn't done any sin in her life. How can God stand by and watch these things happen? What kind of God is that? It can't be God. And Krishna says it's a place of suffering. I told you it's a place of suffering. How can this God who is a giver of morality, he come and dance with other men's wives? What kind of God is this? I'm giving moral instructions and I dance with other men's wives. What is the problem? That's Krishna. He's not sentimental. He says, I'm God, I'm the controller, I do what I want, don't mind. I know you're envious of me in the material world, but this is how it is. Please, face up the facts. I'm the greatest. I'm the most beautiful. I'm the most learned. I'm the most handsome. Everyone is adoring me. And I enjoy whenever I want, whoever I want. Hare Krishna. So that's Krishna. He breaks laws. He makes the world a horrible place. Recently I asked someone, the group, what would you do if you were God? He said, I'd make the world a better place. Which is a noble cause, but Krishna's made a horrible place and he knows what he's doing. When Krishna made a horrible place, we want to make it a better place. There must be a purpose behind making it a horrible place. But, so that this knowledge has to be there, otherwise you're not going to become detached from the material world. If you're not detached, then how can you chant Hare Krishna? How can you understand Krishna and his name and non-different? You can't. If you're performing synctet activities, you're not going to understand that. Everyone's looking for taste, right? Why don't we have any taste, right? You won't get taste unless you give up this illusory idea that there's still something for you to do in this world and there's still something for you to enjoy in this world separately from Krishna. Unless you give that up, you don't get that. Jinnata Pisa, how are you going to do that? How are you going to become humble in the store in the street if you still think you're the doer and the controller? How can you be more tolerant than a tree if you have that pride? Are you ready to offer all respects to others if you think that you're God? You're supposed to be the greatest. It won't happen. So you have to, you won't get any taste unless you consciously give up that endeavor to perpetuate the material ego. So you can't live. You can't perform sinful activities and expect to get a taste of Krishna, understand that how Krishna and his name are the same. If you're chanting Krishna's name, you still don't get the taste. It's got to be done without offense. And that is a move. Without offense is you're feeding yourself lower than the sower in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer respect. Because this is your actual position. We are helpless. We're really insignificant. Little spiritual spark, 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair in this cosmic manifestation. It's very, very, we're very, very insignificant. Very insignificant. But we don't think so. So the realization has to be there. Otherwise, how can you be humble? But if you know who you are, then you must be humble. You realize you're insignificant. And the material energy is overwhelming, overpowering, scary. Scary. Arjuna saw the material energy. He was scared. He's tough, Arjuna. He's one of the greatest heroes on the planet. He was scared. Seeing the Visharupa, scared. The sages were there. These are self-realized sages in the sky, celestial people. They're all standing there in fear and saying, Shanti, 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 please turn it off. Close. We don't want to see this Visharupa. They're the great sages. They were scared. Please, please, Shanti, Shanti, peace, peace. That's all they could say. Seeing this Visharupa. Peace, peace, peace. That's all they could say. Peace, no. Too much. That's the material world. But we think, not so bad. Life's not so bad. So unless we actually appreciate it for what it is, then you won't be able to give it up. You won't be able to become detached. So unless we give up that idea, then how are we going to get the higher taste? Krishna says, by giving up the lower taste, you achieve a higher taste also. By getting a higher taste, you give up, and you can give up the lower taste. So this is that's why it says human life is meant for austerity. You have to make the first step. Krishna set the scene. The ball is in your court. Here it is. Now you serve how you like. It's up to you. Krishna says, here's everything. I've explained everything, Arjuna. Now you do as you want. So it's the same situation. Here's everything. Here's everything. Everything, all this information is there. Bhagavatam. You have to read Bhagavatam also. Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna, they go hand in hand. Because without knowledge, chanting Hare Krishna is not enough. Of course, we say Hare Krishna is enough, just chanting Hare Krishna. But how will you do it? How will you become detached just by chanting Hare Krishna? So Bhagavatam is the literal incarnation. Hare Krishna is the sound incarnation. So they go very well together, perfect, because you get all this information of the actual nature of the holy name and the actual nature of the material world, which is what you want. You want it without sambandha. Without sambandha, you don't advance. And then how to apply that? To apply this knowledge, that's the Abhideya. That's all there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's practically essential to hear the Bhagavatam. It says hear it regularly. In the association of the devotees. Otherwise that won't happen. That taste won't happen. So it's not a sentimental thing. Bhagavatam is a real thing. If you want to understand what the human form of life is, and make a solution, then practically speaking, Bhagavatam is the only thing that's going to help us. So hear that in the and under the guidance and the association of the devotees, and then we can appreciate the Krishna's and the holiness. Just like now, we chant Hare Krishna. Why do we chant Hare Krishna? We want to advance, right? Why do you chant Hare Krishna? To get rid of anathas. Another? To chant Hare Krishna? To chant, to chant. Another. Very good. Some bhaktas here. Yeah. Krishna is name of the... But you understand that? You feel that? So, to get love of Godhead, yeah. So there are the general two things, you know, to get love of Godhead, to get rid of anathas, in other words, to control, right? Get rid of anathas means control, that means Krishna, I can't do it, Krishna can do it for me. And to enjoy, that means go back to Godhead, right? Enjoy the spiritual atmosphere. I can't do it, so Krishna, we're praying to Krishna to do it for us. We're expecting Krishna to do it. So even we're chanting Hare Krishna, we don't have that realization. So we're using the Maha Mantra as a means. to achieve the goal. It works as a means, but it's actually the goal in itself. But because we don't appreciate that, we don't feel Krishna in his name, then we use it as a means. If I chant Hare Krishna, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, when will you appear to me? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Oh Krishna, when will I see you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, when will I hear you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, he is Krishna. He's right there in that name. But because we don't have any realization of that. So then we have these, at least, you know, we're on the right path. And whatever's bringing us to this point is good, whether it's our desire for peace, security, our desire for happiness, our desire to please Krishna, our desire to chant more. It's fantastic. But some are better than others, obviously. Some are more selfish and some are less selfish. To please myself is more selfish than pleasing Guru, because he wants us to chant, and Krishna likes us to chant. So there's different degrees of accepting the holy, how we approach the holy name. But the ideal is that the name is directly Krishna. It's a sound incarnation of Krishna. And similarly, the Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of Krishna. So he's given us all this knowledge about material energy. So it's not mundane. It's in that we're using. He's explaining how we're bound by this mundane energy. Because if we don't know, then we're not gonna. If you don't know, you're sick. You won't take medicine. So till it starts to dawn on us that we're in a fix, we need help, and we've got to do something. We've got to make some positive changes. We've got to change our own paradigms. We can't just wait for Krishna to do everything. You've got to make. He's waiting for us to do it, and we're waiting for him to do it. But he's waiting for us. You let go. First you let go, Krishna's saying. Let go of your idea of being the enjoyer and the controller here. Then I'll show you my next move. And then you can do your move. So he's waiting for that. That's what Krishna's actually waiting for. And he's given us all the reasons and information why we should do it, how we should do it. And he even personally comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to show us how to do it. He gives a name, he gives the Sankirtan as a practice, and he enjoys it also. He's relishing the name, and he's also using it as a method to show everyone else what to do, how to love Krishna. So there's nothing lacking in the, and there's no information lacking, and there's no dearth of facility to serve Krishna in ISKCON, right? So much variety of service you can do 24 hours a day. There's so much knowledge here that you can go on reading and reading, and Prabhupada said, you read 10 canto, you go back, start again, read 10 cantos, or 12 cantos, go back. It's always fresh, and there's always more to learn, deeper and deeper levels to learn. So we have all the facility is here. We just have to become serious about it, like Prahlad. The onus is on us, each individual. No one can do it. No one's going to do it for you. We have to make that decision ourselves to say no to Maya and yes to Krishna. I'm taking my surrender from Maya and placing it at Krishna's feet. I'm going to surrender. You have to surrender. You have to surrender. It's another radical thing. We have to surrender. We're slaves either to Maya or Krishna. Another radical statement. Nobody likes to hear that. We're all slaves in this material world. Nobody likes to hear that. Everyone's striving for freedom. No, we're all slaves. So you're slave to Krishna, you're slave to your senses. No, there's no third option while you're awake. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Prahlad Maharaj ki, Hari Nam Sankirtan ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Gopala Nandi, Hare Krishna.
Yeah. যে নামের বলছেন সেই নাম আসলে বলছেন যাই সকল বিপদ ভক্তি বিপদ বলেন যখন ওনার নাম যদি ঠিকমতো আমরা গাইতে পারি
Prahlad's given in slogans how we're wasting 40 years. And he's telling his father, go for self-realization. Then he entered the Grihastha Ashram. How to understand that Prahlad is recommending renunciation and our family life is so entangling that he enters into the Grihastha Ashram. Yes, yes. He's teaching us renunciation and he enters into the Grihastha Ashram. I had this question yesterday, day before. No, he's from here, from in another couple of shlokas, Prahlad will go right into the household life. Just another, huh? Just after two. A person too attached to household life, due to being unable to control his senses, how can he liberate himself? An attached householder is bound very strongly by the ropes of affection for his family, wife, children, and other relatives. Then he goes on, money sweeter than honey, and the wives talked in secluded places, and the children's broken sweet voices, and he goes on and on and on, and cuts it all to pieces. But he's not talking about the Grihastha Ashram, he's talking about the attached householder. You have to deal with family affairs. You have to spend time with the family. Of course you have to spend time with the family. What's wrong with spending time with the family? No, you go for self-realization. What's wrong with having a family and being self-realized at the same time? No, there's nothing wrong with life. If you see it in connection with Krishna, then you're stuck in this body. There's nothing you can do about it, right? Nothing you can do about it. Suicide's not on the table, right? There's nothing you can do about it, unless you want to become a ghost. So you're in this body, right? Okay, nothing you can do about it, right? There's eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are big considerations in life, right? You can't just switch them off. Can you? Can you forget about eating, sleeping, enjoying, and defending? Can you? Say yes or no? Or like, half?
I'm particularly talking about like he. Enjoyment is there, everybody like enjoying, but like he has entered into Grihastha Ashram, like he's giving the analogy that how like life is precious and how we have wasted already so much time. So this is time for like self-realization. But he's giving like this type of instruction.
I'm answering your question. I'm telling you how it works. Right? Can you live without eating, sleeping, enjoying, defending? You can't live without it. Right. Will you get married? Or you may be brahmachari? Good luck. So if someone wants to get married, what is the problem?
My question is not that he got married, that he did something wrong. But like he taught...
No, your question is, he's getting involved in family, domestic affairs. Life is meant for self-realization, but he's in domestic affairs. Right? But even if you take sannyasi, what about your eating, sleeping, enjoying and defending, they'll disappear? Huh? You'll do it as a sannyasi, and you'll do it as a grihastha. right? Until you actually surrender to Krishna, you've got to surrender to something. What will be your motivation? Your motivation for doing anything is a result you get from eating, the result you get from it, the result you get from sleeping, the result you get from defending, and the result you get from enjoying. That's your motivation, right? So it has to be there, whether you're sannyasi or grihastha. So unless you actually surrender to Krishna, it's the same thing. Unless you establish a relationship with Krishna, it's the same thing. Sannyasi is not doing anything different. Right? He's also eating, he's also sleeping, he's also defending. He may only have two cloths to defend with, but still he's defending. And he's getting his enjoyment somewhere. Renounced knowledge. Oh, if it's more material, he's being worshipped. Enjoying that. So unless you actually surrender to Krishna, then you can't stop those four things. So it doesn't really matter which way we go through life, red or white. It doesn't really make any difference. The point is to surrender to Krishna. If you didn't surrender to Krishna, then it wasn't, you know, neither was successful. So you go through the life, but you see it in connection with Krishna. How the self-realized person lives in household. That's given in Srimad Bhagavatam. The wife says, we should get this, we should do this. He said, yes, good idea, very good dear, very nice idea. Yeah, we get a new fridge, yeah, we get a new oven. We will do this, very good. But all the time he's thinking, actually the purpose of life is self-realization. He's thinking like that. But his wife, he said, yes, very good idea, we'll do that, yes, very good. And he may do it also, but he's thinking on top, the purpose of life is self-realization. So he hasn't forgot the principle of life. He hasn't forgot that. But he's gonna go through the motions. He's gonna buy the stuff for the house. He's gonna bring the children up. He's gonna send them to school. He's gonna get them married. But this purpose of life is self-realization. And he should be teaching his children, obviously. That's the purpose, real purpose. So the first principle is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. That's the purpose of all the rules and regulations. That's the purpose of all the ashrams. So if you don't do that, then it doesn't really matter what ashram you're in. It doesn't make any difference. If you don't get Krishna, then you haven't achieved the goal of the ashram. If you get Krishna, you've achieved the goal of the ashram, whether it's brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. As long as you get Krishna, it doesn't matter how you get him, but as long as you get Krishna, it doesn't matter if you get through any one of those four ways of life, that's material situation. According to your nature, you'll choose one of them. But it's not a hindrance. Here Prahlad is talking about the attached person. There's danger of becoming attached. The danger is there. He's pointing that out. But he's given the very graphic example. Those are people who are materialistic. They're entering into this household life for enjoyment. They want to enjoy their wife, they want to enjoy the society and their children. They want to enjoy their paraphernalia of the house. They want to enjoy the prestige. That's what he's talking about, Prahlad. It's always risky, but anyway, it's risky as a sannyas, brahmacharya, or vanaprastha. Everything is risky in the material world. But here he's talking about materialistic people. What happens when you're attached? Not to Krishna, to material. That's what Prahlad will use to exemplify, to expand or to blow up the nature of this material world, the nature of attachment. It's very, very graphic. So it hits us. Okay.
Maybe I need a little more clarity. But like as in Bhagavad Gita, it says that yadi dasati sreshta tata devatarjana. Like as the leader Shrestha will follow, the common masses of the people will also follow. But if you see, like on the age of 5 only, he got like self-realization, love of God.
I can't hear you very well.
Like at the age of 5 only, he got self-realization. And the Bhagavad Gita also did say that as the like leaders or superiors they are doing, the common masses of people they follow. So like I'm not able to digest it, the actions and the...
Anyway, it's very late. Maybe we can talk after. It's already 9:15. So if anyone has questions, we can speak afterwards. It's 9:15 now. If it's a one-answer question, you can ask.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, you said that the Bhagavatam teaches us, and Prahlad Maharaj says that according to our karma, how much happiness and how much suffering is there, that will come automatically and that cannot be altered. And you gave the example that we can see that if a person has indigestion, he won't be able to eat even if he has a lot of food, or he may get angry with someone and he may not feel like consuming food. Now, we can give this example to people, but is there a way to, kind of prove it to them beyond these examples so they can become more dedicated? Is there a way to prove this? Like if suppose a person knows that in his next 1 year all these things are going to happen definitely and it can be proven easily, and then he'll say, okay, then, it's going to happen anyway. He experiences it for 1 year, and then he's going to commit his next so many years. Is there a way, astrology is there, I could think of that, but it's very difficult to find someone maybe qualified who can prove it. Any other way, maybe?
No, it's not like that. Krishna makes it, he makes it so everyone has a chance. The atheists, the non-believers, he makes it like that. We're not convinced ourselves. How are we going to convince other people? It's difficult for us to be that convinced, right? Even we're having trouble with it, trying to surrender to Krishna, trying to accept this in toto and believe it and follow it. We're having difficulties with it. It's not an easy thing. So there's no easy thing like that. Bhakti is very carefully protected by these things.
You mentioned that
one line answer.
I wanted to say something, not a question. I remember something when you were speaking. It's the same that what you said. It may sound different, but it is same what you said. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the chapter of where Lord Chaitanya is describing the Shikshashtak prayers, there he is saying that chanting is the means, Sarva Bhakti Sadhan Udgam. He is saying chanting is the means, chanting awakens all other means of bhakti. Like whatever is necessary for bhakti, chanting awakens that. So I was thinking when you were speaking about the Bhagavatam, and you said that Bhagavatam, just chanting is not sufficient, and Bhagavatam is necessary. So if somebody is just taking to chanting, then the chanting will introduce Bhagavatam also. And I also have the same experience, that chanting itself is sufficient, but then it will introduce other aspects also, like Bhagavatam, and then you don't reject the Bhagavatam, because it is also means, like what Jananivas Prabhu was saying yesterday, that you don't meditate on the form while chanting, but when the chanting reveals the form, then you don't reject the form, you say, I just want to hear, like that. So okay. I was remembering that, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, chanting is enough, but it'll be much quicker. Chanting and Bhagavatam, they're made for each other. They're a very good couple. Made. Hare Krishna. Jai Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.